Okay, we're live.
Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the January 10th, 2022 regular meeting of the University City City Council to order. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay. he's trying to get in. Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Hales.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Mayor Crowe.
Here. Let the record reflect that Councilmember Clay is here. She started the rotation with you, Stacy. I thought maybe you were going to be the last name called, and instead you were the first. So, but anyway, everybody is here. You have before you the agenda as presented during the study session. And as I understand from the city manager, he would like to move item number J3 from the consent agenda to the city manager's report, making that item number one. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, those in favor of amending the agenda, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. You now have before you the amended agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda? Mr. McMahon, seconded by Mr. Cusick. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the agenda, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no proclamations. Before you, you have the minutes of December the 13th study session, public safety notification. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Ms. Klein, seconded by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Closed. The ayes have it. You have before you the December 13th regular minutes. Is there a motion to approve? Motion by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Closed. The ayes have it. Finally, you have the special session from December the 20th. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Hales and seconded by Mr. Cusick. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Looks like I need to turn the next part of the agenda over to Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. At this time, I'd like to nominate Dennis Fuller for real appointment to Traffic Commission.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. At this time, I would like to nominate Gerald Tears for reappointment to the Traffic Commission.
Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Cusick, take us home on these. Next one.
Thank you. And finally, I would like to nominate Mr. Craig Hughes for reappointment to the Traffic Commission.
Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Hales. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. You will note that Aisha Hedges was sworn in by Zoom to the Arts and Letters, that Marcy Deer was sworn in to Arts and Letters, and that Sophia Allen was sworn into Arts and Letters. Thank you to Ms. Reese for getting that done. To all of the citizens who are watching by Zoom, we appreciate again the comments that you have provided to us. Ms. Reese provided all comments to members of council that were received by noon today. So we appreciate that. And we again will say that we hope that there is a time when we can go back to our in-person meetings, but I think we all recognize the situation that our community and many others are facing at this time. So thank you very much for your comments. If now I'd like to open the public hearing for the liquor license on the Greenwood Restaurant at 1000 Sutter Avenue at 6:38. There were no public comments provided to us ahead of time on this, so I will now close the public hearing on the Greenwood Restaurant liquor license at 6:38 p.m. You now have before you the amended consent agenda with six items on it. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda? Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, this item asks that you consider approval for submitting a grant program application and incorporating the Kemplin Bridge Replacement Project into University City's Capital Improvement Program for the respective grant implemented fiscal year FY23 through FY25. We have Public Works Director, Mr. Appleson, here with us tonight to present this item. Mr. Appleson.
Thank you, Mr. Rose, Mayor, Council Members, good evening. The item that requires consideration of approval is based on, I have seen some questions, so I'm addressing those questions as I go. The information that I present to you is all based on state inspection records and state's analyses. The Missouri Department of Transportation is the agency that completes that for us under their off-system bridge program. These bridge inspections are due every other year, and one just occurred this year. We don't have the inspection results from that yet. It was back in December. But what we based this one on for its evaluation is the inspection records that were inspection that was completed in 2019 and the records from that. The Kemplin Bridge in consideration here is a bridge that is at a young age as for infrastructure. I agree with that. So Kemplin Bridge is a steel girder structure. And so one of the things that I'd like to bring into your consideration is the steel girder structures are a little difficult to maintain. You need to stay on top of them, on top of their corrosion state and overcoating and painting these structures on a regular basis. This structure was last overcoated in 2002. So it's been 20 years since that last maintenance was done on the structure. We have 14 structures under our maintenance in University City. I can honestly tell you that I don't have enough staff or personnel that can analyze these structures on a regular basis to provide the regular maintenance. So we choose structures based on the maintenance needs and minimal based on minimal maintenance needs. Those are the structures that we have pretty much converted all our network to since the beginning of the year 2000. All our structures are now precast concrete. Precast concrete is much easier to maintain, less maintenance requiring. And you may also recall that we actually had one bridge removed on an emergency basis. That was a pedestrian bridge. That was a steel structure that was buckled already and was unsafe to travel on. And that was the Raymond Bridge. That was a few years back. Recently, also one alley bridge near Kingsland structure was closed due to, again, deterioration. And in this case, I admit it was lack of maintenance, but again, it was a steel structure. It was one that was not easy to access, which is the case of Kemplin Bridge. Kemplin Bridge is not a very easy to access structure. You need to get under it, scaffold up, and have it all overcoated and maintained. That type of undertaking is not any cheaper than $30,000, $40,000 a pop. And it needs to be done really more on a regular basis. And that is really that period should not exceed, at least 6-7 years. And so when you consider a structure that is already 34 years old, and generally the comments that we have received are all accurate, that these structures have a lifespan of about 50 years. So there is a few maintenance cycles left in this structure, but the structure is already in a deteriorated state. So this is not only overcoating and painting this structure, but also repairing some of the sections that have experienced section loss on this structure. An emergency closure of a structure like Kemplin Bridge would be a disaster in the area because it's a very critical connection. Any routing around it would not be as easy as Raymond Pedestrian Bridge or the Alley Bridge near Parkmore and Chamberlain that we had to close. And so these are some of the factors that go into this discussion. And another question was about the replacement cost. I estimated this bridge's replacement cost at $500,000. It's actually probably on the low side in terms of how much these structures can cost. And this type of a grant application is not going to bring those monies to us right away. They have a 3-year cycle. So this is the federal fiscal year 2023 through 2026. In the most rapid fashion, we won't get that money still before the federal fiscal year 2025 as for construction. And a few more questions came about how these structures are classified as functionally deficient. Actually, I put it as functionally deficient, but the structure is in fact functionally obsolete. And so that determination comes from the MODOT, the agency that inspects and evaluates these structures under the National Bridge Inventory standards. And the functionally obsolete it's based on load carrying capacity of the structure, and that can be a design factor. In fact, how much capacity is built into the structure. Low waterway adequacy, and so that determines whether the clearance of the structure off the waterway and its flood state is enough or not. Deck geometry and insufficient horizontal and vertical clearances and poor approach roadway alignment. And so Kemplin Bridge, you may have seen it. It's at a very tight spot there, and it carries bus transit type of loads across it. So the demand on the structure is quite a bit, and the structure is probably not was not originally built for it. So any modern structure would probably expand its footprint and apply some improvements to it, such as wider shoulders and sidewalk areas on it also. So that is what goes into the functionally obsolescence of a structure. In terms of the sufficiency rating of a structure, which I also would like to say that this structure is not in trouble in terms of sufficiency rating. Its sufficiency rating is still at about 67%. And so the sufficiency rating is determined based on, functional obsolescence goes into the sufficiency rating determination, but also structural adequacy and level of service and essentiality for public use. These are factors that are considered when a bridge is evaluated for its sufficiency rating. These are the factors that I wanted to share with you about this item, and I'm ready for any questions.
Are there questions of Mr. Alpazlan regarding his presentation? It's like Mr. Hales.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Thank you, Mr. Alpazlan. One question I have is just what is the, when we're talking about maintenance of a bridge, what is the difference between the level of required maintenance between a steel girder bridge and a precast concrete bridge in terms of the number of years, cost, effort, that kind of thing. And then I have one more question.
The steel girder bridges, Councilmember Hales, are used generally for crossing longer spans. Steel is a material that provides more resistance in smaller geometry. And so if you have a tight area that but long span, you would use steel. In Kemplin Bridge's case, we don't have a tight clearance because Kemplin Bridge, you may have seen it, it's quite tall. You know, the riverbed is quite low all the way down there. And its span, you know, given the loads on it, steel might still be a good option. But, you know, for our maintenance, maybe not the best option. In terms of life cycles, you know, operability of the two different materials, if you can maintain them adequately, I think both are good for their intended purposes. Precast, though, you know, as long the precast, the advantage of precast is that as long as we can maintain it from up above and not leak into it through the deck, we're good, unless something hits it from the bottom and damages it that way. And that structure can actually last quite a bit. And so that is about probably 80% of our inventory now is precast. And I would not build anything other than precast in University City if we had the opportunity.
Okay, thank you. And my last question kind of ties into that. How many other bridges are similarly built that we currently have, and how many of them are in need of deferred maintenance?
So we are at a pretty good level right now in terms of getting having gotten rid of steel girders in University City. We have a small section of Kingsland Bridge at the very end of it where it curves to the east out of the Kingsland Avenue alignment. That is steel, as well as we have a Roberts pedestrian bridge that is also steel, but that's a very short span as well. Other than that, all our remaining bridges are, I need to double check the Pennsylvania Bridge. Pennsylvania Bridge may be another one that is steel, but there I think the need will be more what Council Member Cusick raised today as another issue, that is the clearance of the river, provide the hydraulic clearance. And I think that bridge at some point will need that. But in terms of its preservation, all those three remaining structures are in pretty good shape right now.
And we're making efforts to maintain those in shorter intervals than 20 years, as was the case with Kemplin.
Yes, and they are, you know, in terms of their ease of access to those structures, they're at much better locations than Kemplin Bridge.
Okay, thank you very much.
I believe Mr. Clay, you were next.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Crow. Thank you, Mr. Appleson, for your response to this item. So just to be clear, especially to those citizens who may be using the Kemplin Bridge, we've heard terms like functional obsolescence, 67% in terms of a sufficiency rating, 67% in most grading scales is a D. So want to be clear, this is safe. This is a safe bridge. People can traverse it with confidence, correct?
It's a safe bridge, Councilmember Clay. It doesn't have any problems in terms of structural deficiency or such.
Okay. And just to be clear, the city maintains the responsibility of, maintaining these bridges while the state does the inspections. Is that correct?
Correct. The state provides oversight onto our efforts to make sure that they are adequately applied because these are a part of the public infrastructure in our area.
And I'll just say it one more time, this bridge is safe for use. I just want to make that clear. Thank you.
Right. Someone else had their hand up, I believe. Mr. Smotherson.
Well, I thought it was Councilmember Cusick, and I think he did have his hand up first.
Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor. And then I'll go. Thank you. I hope you can hear me fine. My concern is, Mr. Alpison, the current hydraulic clearance of the bridge, and will that be maintained, and is it sufficient now? Because we have paid to have other bridges rebuilt, and as it turns out, we don't have enough hydraulic clearance underneath the bridge. So my concern is, do we have now for the river to repair, and is it adequate? And then what will be the end result? Will we lose any of that? Do we have any say-so in what the final bridge would look like to make sure that that doesn't impede any potential flow of the river to Pear?
Councilmember Cusick, it's a very important consideration anytime these bridges are designed. And I know from those other examples that there are not sufficient openings, especially at a location like Groby Road Bridge. This bridge is probably the tallest. Maybe Canton Bridge is a little bit taller. But what we do in the process is make sure with the most vigorous qualification in terms of base flood elevations, that these bridges are not at a location where they will be overtop. The one thing about that I mentioned, that steel gives you the smallest section for the longest span. Well, why do we now get rid of the steel? Of course, you know, maintenance is our problem here. But in terms of the precast, they have some modern methods. Instead of using the sections vertical, now they lay them horizontal. And so when they do that, they don't affect the clearance of the structure. So our most recent structures on Chamberlain Avenue that has been replaced was done that way. And its opening was not reduced due to the usage of that method, and could not be reduced regardless because of the rigorous requirements. But that's what we would follow in a Kemplin Place bridge case, which I don't think would be a challenge in the Kemplin Bridges case because of the already ample clearance at that location.
Mr. Smotherson.
Oh, thank you, Mayor Crow. Mr. Appleson, I just wanted a quick question on something you mentioned. The Kemplin Bridge, being in the location that it's in, originally, was that made for bus traffic, and will it continue to be able to handle bus traffic?
Kemplin Bridge's, Councilmember Smotherson, Kemplin Bridge's load posting is adequate for bus traffic. But when we are redesigning this bridge, we probably need to apply some additional criteria in terms of bus transit travel across it. And so as it is a major route in that area. I don't know if back in 1988, when the bridge was built, that was the case. But that being the case now, that will be taken into consideration. So, you know, when you look at a bridge, you look at traffic from one side to the other side. And so that loading, but if it's a major route, you can look at the two lanes at the same time and the same loading to both at the same time. So then you build the structure for that. And so now when we are looking at this, the design criteria for this structure, we would apply the criteria for the today's and the future's loading requirements.
And I appreciate that because, again, and I think you did address what I was actually concerned, because I know if you've got two buses crossing that bridge, I just want to make sure it, you know, because again, originally that wasn't a bus route, if you understand what I mean. So thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Does this item need a motion?
Yes.
I believe it does. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor, the item of under the city manager report asks that you consider a liquor license for a Greenwood Restaurant LLC at 1000 Sutter Avenue. This item is being recommended, this application is being recommended for approval. And Mr. Cole, our finance director, is with us if you have questions regarding the item.
Are there questions regarding the Greenwood Restaurant a liquor license? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Clay. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this next item asks that you consider a site plan for All Nations Church at 7860 through 7868 Olive Boulevard. And I believe we have Ms. Smith, our assistant city manager, with us if you have questions on the item.
Are there questions regarding the All Nations Church application for site plan approval? Mr. McMahon.
Just a point of clarification. I just think the page numbers might have.
Yes, this is item.
Just for people, anybody following the agenda at home, the page numbers are flipped on that, K2 and K3.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Ms. Klein. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this next item asks that you consider an application for a conditional use permit at 8322 Olive Boulevard. The proposed use is for a basement storage of landlord's materials and files in a multi-tenant commercial building. And Ms. Smith is with us if you have questions on the item.
Are there questions regarding this CUP? This one seemed rather self-explanatory, I kind of thought. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Hale, seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, this next item asks that you consider entering an agreement with Creative Entourage Agency LLC for public opinion and information communication. If approved, Creative Entourage will assist staff with informing our residents on the upcoming quarter cent fire sales tax question. This will be accomplished by surveying residents to determine questions about the tax and responding to the questions and communicating the facts about the tax via community outreach, brochures, and a video. We certainly intend to share the pros and the cons relative to considering the tax initiative. So this is not an advocacy piece. What will happen is simply trying to educate the residents regarding the pros and cons of the tax so that they can make an informed decision when they consider the tax question. I'd be happy to respond to any questions that you have.
Are there questions from members of council? Mr. Smotherson.
Mayor Crow, just wanted to mention, I mean, should we motion on this before we have a discussion?
I'm perfectly content for that. Can we place a motion on the floor for Creative Entourage contract? Is there a motion? Motion by Mr. Cusick, seconded by Mr. Hales. Mr. Smotherson, would you like the floor?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Rose, the question that I have about this is because it's just one, in reference to the tax that we're presenting in front of our residents is this temporary? And if you can explain what temporary is.
Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, this tax would not have a sunset attached to it. That's not how it is presented in the ballot language. So the intention would be for the tax to go into perpetuity.
Okay. I appreciate that. Because what I really don't understand is that I think it's the way that I understood the tax. I think it's self-explanatory, and I don't really see the need to hire a company to actually explain this or answer questions or something more that our staff could not answer. And then the other thing that I look at is in reference to where we are as a city, in reference to the fact that if in fact we approve this, and I just don't understand the need to spend $45,000 for something that I'm not sure later in the year, or later in the next year that we will actually need. Because again, one of the things that I look at is in the fourth quarter or third or fourth quarter of this year, we may in fact have an open Costco and also a Quick Trip if that's possible. So there is going to be a kick, and I'm not sure how big that kick is going to be in reference to sales tax and property tax. I think that would be enough to actually offset what we're actually looking for in reference to this fire sales tax, in reference to what we're trying to do with the fire sales tax. But again, my point is, I don't really see the need to hire a company to spend $45,000 for something in this regard because of what we're expecting to have in the future. I don't understand why we can't just handle that ourselves.
Honorable Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, the purpose for the information campaign is not to persuade residents to vote for the tax. The purpose for the information campaign is simply to educate them about the pros and cons of this particular question. We today don't know the questions that are out there. We hope to, if this is approved, obtain those questions via surveying the community as well as through a community outreach. We know that there are some questions you received as a part of the public comments, a series of questions from a resident within University City about the tax, but there are very likely many, many other questions. Our desire would be, if this is approved, to create a frequently asked question brochure and to distribute that information to our residents so that we are informing them as best we can about the pros and cons of the tax and providing them with facts about the tax as well.
Okay, not sure why, but as long as that again is informative and not, a persuasion type of attitude. So I thank you, sir.
I think someone else also had their hand. Was it Councilmember Clay? Yes.
Yes, I did, Mayor. I don't know if somebody else had their hand up before.
I think you were first. I think you were next.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Crow. That question of information versus advocacy is one that I think is always and appropriately asked of any governmental entities when they're looking to raise either bond funds or increase taxes. Can City Manager Rose, or I don't know if this is more appropriate for Attorney Mulligan, can you talk to us very briefly about the things that we can do as a city and what we are prohibited from doing?
Yeah, I believe that the city attorney has looked into this on a prior issue. And so I would defer to John to provide comments on what we are legally restricted from doing as a government entity.
Okay, John. My mayor and honorable mayor and members of the city council, city manager, there's a Missouri state statute that addresses what cities may do, city officials may do with respect to ballot propositions such as this. That statute has been declared unconstitutional by the Cole County Circuit Court. An appeal is pending before the Missouri Supreme Court on that. It was argued and the parties are waiting for a decision on that. If the Cole County Circuit Court decision is upheld or affirmed by the Supreme Court, then essentially the city would be free to advocate or oppose any ballot proposition. Because that decision is on appeal, the city may operate under the existing statute, which basically states that you can't advocate for a ballot proposition. You may provide information to the voters, as city manager indicated, the pros and cons. You know, what impact would there be on the city if it passes? What impact would there be on this on the city if it fails to pass? Perhaps information, excuse me, regarding projected revenues and the current expenditures for fire services, the needs, and so on, and that would tie into the impact. So that's generally what a city may do under the statute. We could get a decision any day, and as soon as that decision is reached, of course, I would notify the city manager and you on that decision and how that will impact this information campaign.
If I could add on to what John is indicating, if the desire was at any point to switch from it just being an information campaign, my intention would be to bring the item back to you as the council for further consideration. What I am asking for at this point is just for authorization to do an information campaign to inform our residents on the pros and cons.
Are there other questions?
Oh, Mayor, I did have one more.
Sure.
So in terms of outreach, talk about what that would look like with this company. Can you give us a sense of how that would manifest, who we would attempt to engage, how we would attempt to engage them?
I don't have a good answer for you on that issue at this point, only because of the environment that we're operating in. If COVID goes away tomorrow, it's an easy one to respond to because we would actually do community meetings. But within a COVID environment, community outreach is likely going to be virtual. And so I can only share that it's either going to be in person or virtual. Receiving comments from residents, responding to questions. I just don't know what form that's going to happen.
And understanding that, but in either a COVID or a non-COVID circumstance, meetings would be convened invitation made available to all residents. There's going to be mailers that come out, an opportunity to answer questions, those that have been asked already, and new ones that will be coming in. That will be part of it. Understanding the meetings might be virtual. I mean, we get that.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, that would be allowed up under this agreement. I will still look to gauge the need. I will start out with the survey to determine the number of questions and then determine if there's a need. My goal would be to try and reduce the cost of this agreement as much as possible, but to have the flexibility if we start seeing that there's significant interest and desire to gain information about this tax in the community. It just gives us another option for providing that information.
So the amount, and I share concerns about the amount as well, is it up to amount? Is that correct?
Honorable Mayor, council members, the amount of the contract that we would sign would be, I believe it's a little over $41,000. The intention would be to work with them if we're not utilizing the full amount to reduce that amount down.
Okay. And one final thing, Mayor. I understand that our internal communications capacity is diminished. We currently do not have a director of communication. Is that correct?
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, that is correct.
Did I freeze?
You did freeze. Yeah. We can hear you.
Okay. All right. So we are, at least in that regard, which is significant as it relates to communication, we are diminished from a communication staffing perspective.
That is correct.
Okay.
Any other questions of Mr. Rose? A couple of things that I would just throw out real quickly is that I think sometimes, particularly since we've, many of us, we've been on council for quite some time, we do sometimes forget that we have access to a lot of information that just keeps coming across to us, and not just once or twice, but three, four, and five times. And probably a large percentage of our residents are not paying attention to this at all and won't pay attention to it for some time. So I think that the idea of having a survey to find out what the concerns and questions are is probably a good idea, because again, we've kind of got the inside the beltway knowledge, if you will, of what all is going on, and our residents don't. So I don't even think they know necessarily right now what questions to ask. And on staffing, I would actually say mine is probably goes even further than Mr. Clay's, and mine is, I'm not sure if we on staff right now, I'd say we're about as thin as it's going to get right now. As far as staff, when you've got a lot of folks providing, if you will, doing double duty on more than one position. So would I love to keep the cost down? Absolutely. Do I want it to be a pro and a con? Sure. I don't think any of us want to have the concerns that have been addressed, that have been raised in the past about whether something was an advocacy piece versus a pro and a con. So I'm hopeful that I think the city manager will carry that message forward to the consultant. So, but I would like to keep the cost down as always. So other questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of the Creative Entourage contract as presented by the city manager, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Thank you. The matter has passed. We have no unfinished business. We have no new business. Would anyone like to speak to the council reports and business section? Hearing none, are there council comments this evening? Hearing none, I would welcome a motion to go into closed session according to Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, causes of action, or litigation involving a public governmental body and any confidential or privileged communications between that public governmental body or its representatives or attorneys. Such a motion by made by Mr. Hales. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Any discussion? Hearing none. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Cousy?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
It's frozen.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Hales?
Aye.
Do we have Mr. Clay back? Councilmember Clay?
You hear me?
I hear you. Thank you. Mayor Crowe?
Okay.
Aye. Thank you very much. We will now go into, we'll take about a 3-minute break, if that's okay with everybody, before we go into closed session. And one of these days, we're going to do outtakes from all of our freezings and our noises that are made on these Zoom meetings. To the public, thank you very much for joining us. We'll go into closed session momentarily. Thank you.